This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the wisdom of Luqman alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to learn from the beautiful lessons that Allah has taught us through His kalam, through His kitab, through His book, through His speech. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to apply these lessons in our lives, because in that there is khair, there is success, both for this world and the akhirah. We were talking about the importance of Amar bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar, which is to enjoin good and to promote good and to prevent and prohibit anything which is evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His reward and He promised His support for those who do this work. This was the work of His Anbiya alayhi salam. This is the highest of the highest occupation, highest profession, highest responsibility that anybody can have, which is to spread goodness around himself or herself in the world. This is the only job for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specially selected people and sent them into this world to do this job, and those people were the Anbiya and the Rusul, the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and He said that He would support and help those people, where He said, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَبِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَحَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah will help those who help His cause. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all strong, قَبِيٌّ عَزِيز and almighty. Those people, rulers or anybody in authority, who, if we give them power in the land, they enjoin Iqamati Salah, to establish Salah, and to pay Zakat, and they enjoin Al-Ma'ruf, what is good, and forbid Al-Munkar, whatever is evil, then with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rests the end of all matters of all creatures. This is the most important thing to understand, that the decision, the determination, the determining, the selecting, the final decision of who is successful and who is not successful is not in this world. It is something that will be done in the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Aqibatu lil-Muttaqeen. Allah said that in the end, the success and the akhirah is for the people who have taqwa. So it doesn't matter how popular somebody seems to be in this life or how unpopular. It doesn't matter how successful by worldly standards, which in today's world seems to be only one, which is money, or how unsuccessful on the same basis. It doesn't matter how powerful or powerless somebody might seem to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make somebody who is apparently powerful, powerless in this life itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take somebody who is very, muazzaz, very prestigious, somebody who is hugely, at least you see the show of respect for that individual in the kind of pomp and splendor that he or she might be in, and keeping them in the same place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can humiliate them and demean them where the whole world spits at them and laughs at them. I don't think I need to give you examples. I think we have seen enough examples in our own lives, in recent history, where people who thought that they were very, very powerful and very respected, while still remaining in those same positions. I mean, that is the beauty of it. It's, you know, if somebody is removed from the position, that's one thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the person in the same position and humiliates them and makes them laughing stock of the whole world. If this will not teach us the lesson that respect and izzah and prestige is not because of the position, it is not because of the money, it is not because of the power and political authority or military authority or wealth authority that is bestowed by wealth. It has nothing to do with any of that. تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَى وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make anybody and gives izzah and gives respect and prestige to whoever He wishes, and He can take it away from whoever He wishes. And Allah is not dependent on keeping a person in a particular position or removing him. If Allah wants, the things that go with the position will become mu'attal, they will become nullified by the hukum of Allah. Just as the power to burn, which the fire has, was nullified by the hukum, by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Similarly, the power and glory and so forth that seems to go with a particular position, with a particular designation, with a particular job, can become zero by the will and hukum of Allah. Now, the point to remember is that this hukum of Allah, this order of Allah, is not random. It is not something that is just happens accidentally. It's not something where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides just to trouble somebody. No, Allah does not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that whatever happens, whether it is good or whether it is evil, is the result of what you earn, is the result of what these hands earn. That is the biggest and most powerful thing to remember. So two things to remember. One is the result is in the akhirah. Whether somebody was successful or not in this life is not determined in this life. It is determined when he dies or she dies. And the second one is that as far as the appearances of the world are concerned, they are completely and totally unimportant. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It doesn't matter what the world calls you, what title they give you, how much of respect they show for you. Whether you have respect or not is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah wants to humiliate you, He will humiliate you right here in this world, in sitting in your own position. And then, of course, in the akhirah, whatever is to come is a different thing. My brothers and sisters, enjoining good and forbidding evil is a mission that will never end until the day of judgment. And therefore, it is obligatory upon all the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rulers and subjects, men and women, each according to his or her circumstances, to do it as long as they are alive. The Muslim Ummah is one nation. And if corruption becomes widespread in it, then all the Muslims are obliged to reform it and to rid it of evil things, to enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Rasulullah ﷺ said in a hadith which is in Muslim Sharif, he said, religion is sincerity. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah, to His Kitab and His Messenger, and to the leaders of the Muslims and to their common people. If a Muslim is advised to do something good, he should be the first to do it. And if he is forbidden from something evil, he must be the first to keep furthest away from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned those who don't do this. Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun kabura maqtan 'indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Allah said, which means, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do. Now, brothers and sisters, it is very, very important. Sincerity and ikhlas is the number one rule in this deen, in this religion of ours. Ikhlas, sincerity, is the number one rule. There is nothing that is more important. There is nothing that supersedes that. Right? The deed itself, the material part of the deed, meaning the physical aspects of the deed, are dependent on the sincerity with which that deed is done. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Innamal amalu bin niyat." He said the deed, the value of the deed, the virtue of the deed, the reward of the deed is dependent on its intention. Bin niyat. On its intention. What does it mean? It means that if the deed, on the surface of it, if you had a video camera and you videotape that deed, it may look like a good deed, but if the intention was bad, then it will be counted as an evil deed, not as a good deed. Let me give you an example. Rasulullah ﷺ promoted and he told us and he praised giving gifts to each other. He said, give gifts to each other because it joins heart, it brings hearts together. Right? So, and you don't have to wait for a particular day, you know, some birthday or anniversary or something, no, or Eid. Anytime, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give gifts to each other because it brings hearts together. So, if you are now videotaping a person giving a gift to another person, what will you see? You will see somebody giving something, like I am giving this to somebody. Right? Now, imagine if you had a videotape where a person was giving a bribe to somebody. What would you see? The film, what would you show you? It will show you exactly the same thing. This. Now, whether this was given as a gift because of sincerity of the heart, because of love of the person, because in order to earn the pleasure of Allah, or whether this is a bribe, the camera won't show you. The camera will not show you. Both these deeds seem to be the same thing, but they are diametrically opposite. One will earn you reward, the other one is haram and will earn you punishment unless Allah forgives you and unless you seek forgiveness. That is the meaning of ikhlas. That is the meaning of what is in the heart. And that's the reason why it is very important to seek correction from time to time. No matter how learned and righteous a person may be or may think he or she is, they need guidance, they need islah, which is correction, from time to time. It is essential for those who are serious about developing themselves to fulfill the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to seek this guidance. Sadly, arrogance seems to be widespread and the biggest pandemic among those who become religious. They look down on others, they lose their smiles, they become pompous, they become super critical, they become unbearable, they become, fatwa shooters, they become takfir shooters, and they think that by doing this, they are winning the hearts of others. The extreme among them acquire takfir guns and shoot from the hips, right? They shoot from the hip. Like the alleged gunfighters of the Wild West. Anything you do, anything you say. Now, all of this is a sign that shaitan has sabotaged you right from the start. Arrogance is a terminal illness which afflicts kings and those who become righteous. The disease of the ulama and the umara is kibr, takabbur. Nobody else gets it. People who are in positions of authority, my king, you don't have to be a king. I mean, and somebody in authority. Even if you have got one or two servants, you are an authority. And by ulama, I don't mean necessarily somebody with a degree from some university. Anyone who thinks he is an alim, anyone who has come to Islam. This is a big problem. A person before coming to Islam had beautiful akhlaq, but once he comes to Islam, he becomes arrogant. He loses his softness, he loses his friendliness. And he thinks that his job is only to point fingers at other people and condemn other people. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Please, Correct yourself. Because you don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where all the good you thought you did is nullified, is removed and cancelled out. Because it was done without ikhlas. Because it was done arrogantly. Because it was done to show off, full of riya. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to make friends, to join hearts and to spread goodness all around. And to have akhlaq that win the hearts of people. As we say, you can only sell to friends. And anybody who thinks that he can do da'wah by becoming, obnoxious, you're fooling yourself. If people don't even like to look at you, if people don't even like to listen to you, how are they going to, be convinced by what you say? You can only sell to friends. So first make friends. My brothers and sisters, I am saying this loud and clear because everyone has this need. It's not only, X, Y or Z. Everyone has it. Now, as far as the Quran al-Kareem is concerned, the message from Surah al-Luqman, it's a beautiful way the Quran gives its message in the most efficient way possible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this where He said, In the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to send to his son, وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. He said, do not turn your face away from people with pride and do not walk in insolence through the earth. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the arrogant boaster. It's very, very important to understand this and see how beautifully the body language of the person is mentioned and how beautifully it is explained of how people behave when they are being arrogant, right? And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the most humble of people. Now, if anybody had a right to be arrogant, it was the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he was the Rabbi of Allah, and he was the Habib of Allah, and he is the Habib of Allah, and he is the Nabi and the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after whom there is no Nabi and there is no Rasul. But he was the most humble of people. My brothers and sisters, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who narrated that Rasulullah said, he will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not secure from his evil. And this is in Sahih Muslim. He will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not secure from his evil. Now think about this. I mean, people, are we even concerned about our neighbors? Do we even know who our neighbors are? So, okay, you might say, well, I'm not harming the neighbor, which is very good, alhamdulillah. But are you benefiting the neighbor? Are you doing something for the neighbor which helps the neighbor? You must see, these are all things that we need to keep in mind. Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu also reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let the believer in Allah and the Day of Judgment either speak good or remain silent. Let the believer in Allah and the Day of Judgment honor his neighbor. He's not talking about being indifferent to the neighbor. He's not talking about being neutral. He's saying, do more. Honor the neighbor. Let the believer in Allah and the Day of Judgment honor his guest. And this is in Muslim and Bukhari. So the neighbor is the one who's there, who hasn't come to your house. The guest is somebody who comes to your house, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody else. So three things. Let the believer in Allah and the Day of Judgment either speak good or be silent. I tell you, I cannot overemphasize the importance of silence. If this mouth is not open, it cannot do any evil. If I speak, then maybe what I am speaking is good, in which case, alhamdulillah, may Allah protect us from evil speech. But it's possible that what I'm saying or what I would have said or I'm going to say is something which is bad, and that will harm me, right? Now, therefore, speaking unnecessarily, speaking when there is really no need to speak. This is one of the biggest evils. So please, my brothers and sisters, let us not fall into that trap. We don't want to say something which later on comes back to haunt us. And there are many cases, I'm sure every single one of us can remember that. I can certainly remember it. I regret it, and I make istighfar and tawbah, and I apologize, and I have apologized to whoever was involved in that. But my point I'm saying is that the best thing is to keep your mouth shut. So either say something good or say nothing. The second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said was, honor your neighbor, which means to know the neighbor, periodically to go and check on the neighbor, to help the neighbor in any way that the neighbor might need help. And there are so many lovely stories of people who do this, and how this is the most powerful means of dawah, because, you know, the way to change the heart is through behavior, right? The way to change the heart is through behavior. So, and that's why there is so much of importance in Islam on salam and ta'am, on salam and feeding. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, spread the salam and feed those who are hungry, feed people, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people are sleeping. And you will find the path of Jannah has been made easy for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease the path of Jannah for you. So, honor the neighbor. And then he said, let the believer in Allah and the Day of Judgment honor his guest. SubhanAllah, today we are living in a world where we think that guests are a burden. We are not happy when you get a guest. You feel burdened. You feel this is a musibat. Now, unfortunately, thanks to this COVID, it has become the bigger test, because now we say, well, you know, the guest is may not be a musibat, but because of COVID, if a person comes, then there is some suspicion or the other which is involved with that person. That's probably one reason why it's better not to visit people during this time, because you don't want people to have this thing in the back of their mind that you brought COVID to their house. Imagine people are going out, they're doing things, they might catch an infection from whoever, but because you happen to be there, the suspicion comes to you to say that, because of this person, I got COVID. So stay away. That's the best thing. But alhamdulillah, when times return, or if you do get a guest, then take precautions, but honor the guest. This is very, very important, because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the best friend in the sight of Allah is he who is the well-wisher of his companions. And the best neighbor is the one who behaves best toward his neighbors. And this is in Tirmidhi. Now see this hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best friend in the sight of Allah is he who is the well-wisher of his companions. Now tell me, who knows whether you are a well-wisher or not? We see plenty of cases where people pretend to be well-wishers. People pretend to have this much of love and affection, and they, when they meet you, they say, oh, mashallah, subhanallah, my God, how much I missed you, I love you, and blah, blah, blah. And in the heart is the opposite of that. And how do you know that? Because you would have heard them, or somebody else has heard them, what they say about you when you are not there. This is nifaq, this is hypocrisy. This is utterly shameful. There is no need. The other person didn't ask you to hug him or kiss him or say that he's a great person. It is not incumbent upon you. You are not compelled to love everybody. Right? You are compelled not to harm everybody. So, to harm anybody. So, don't do that. But also, you are not compelled to love everybody. So, if you find that, okay, whoever is there, I don't love that person, no problem. But make sure that you don't harm anybody. Now, having said that, pretending to love somebody, this is a lie. Don't do that.
Don't do this acting because Allah knows. Allah knows what's in the heart. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best person is who? Who is a well-wisher. So if you, the thing to do is to look at the heart and change that heart. The heart which does not wish well for others, change that heart. Whatever you think the other person did, forgive that person. Because whatever that person did to you is not as bad as what people did to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he forgave them. Let the Nabi alayhi salam be our example in this life. Because there is no example which is better than his example. So whoever it is, whatever they did, forgive them. Don't carry that junk in your heart. And be the well-wisher. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best neighbor is the one who behaves best towards his neighbor. This whole focus in Islam and Islamic akhlaq on being good to everyone around us. Somebody asked him, Sallam, by neighbor, who is meant? He said, 70 houses on all sides of you. 70 houses on all sides of you. From where I am sitting, I'm in Connecticut, 70 houses is in Massachusetts. It's in the next state. Right? So my interpretation of 70 houses is not necessarily counting 70 houses, but anybody I meet. Because he said 70 houses on your right, on your left, in front of you, behind you. In those days, they didn't have multi-storied buildings. They didn't have skyscrapers. So he didn't say behind, under you and above you. Because today we have that also. So my interpretation is, your neighbor is anyone you meet in any situation. So it is the other person on the road who is driving his or her car while I am driving my car. It is the person in the store who I meet, at the cash desk, or the person, the helper in the store. It is the teacher of my children in school. It is the medical person in the hospital, who is a security guard, whoever. The person I cross on the street. You know, I lived in Guyana for 5 years. And my Guyana tribe is full of beautiful memories. Guyanese are absolutely, brilliant, beautiful people. But one of my best memories of Guyana is the fact that when I used to live there, I hope the same thing remains even today. Nobody passed you in the street without waving to you. And you say, hi, how are you doing? Nobody. Even here in the US, I find that many people, not everybody, many people, when I go for a walk and so on, people driving, obviously strangers, I mean, I don't know, somebody is driving a car, people driving will wave to you. As you are walking on the street, people driving will wave. As I said, not everybody, but many people do that. Just being nice, just greeting somebody. Who is the best person? The best neighbor is the one who behaves best towards his neighbors. So do think about that. Do think about how can I be better towards my neighbors. Another hadith, and this is in Muslim, Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi, narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will accept these words from me and act upon them, or teach people who will act upon them? So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, so he asked him, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who will accept these words from me and act upon them, or teach people who will act upon them? So, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I am ready. Right? So, he says he would do that. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took him by the hand and counting 5 characteristics, he said, if you guard against the things which are forbidden, you will be the most devout of men. Number one, if you guard against the things which are forbidden, you will be the most devout of men. Number two, if you are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allotted to you, you will be the richest of men. Number three, if you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. Number four, if you like others to have what you like for yourself, you will be a Muslim. And number five, He said, do not laugh immoderately, for immoderate laughter causes the heart to die. So, five things. Number one, he's saying that if you guard against the things which are forbidden, you will be the most devout of men. It's very important that we do good, but it's even more important that we stop doing evil. Because the natural flow is towards good. This is the fitra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this fitra for everybody, that we are inclined towards good. So if you stop doing evil, then the good will take you towards good. You know, in our consulting, in my consulting practice, one of the things I teach people is something called force field analysis, which is what are the forces in your life which are compelling you towards one way or the other. So somebody says, I want to be successful. Well, let's look at your life and see which forces are in operation. Will you be successful, or will you not be successful? Because the forces that are in operation will take you in this direction or that direction. So in the force field analysis, if you take it, the thing we say is, stop the negative forces first. Because the tendency is towards positive. So if you stop the negative forces, the positive forces will take you towards something which is good. Let me give you another example. If you have a bottle and you find it's filled with water, and you find the water level is dropping because there are holes in the bottle and it is leaking, right? So now you have two options. One is that you keep on filling the bottle. As the water level drops, you put a hose and you put a strong pump, and you forcefully, you push water into the bottle. What do you think will happen? Will the leaks decrease or increase? They will increase. The water was trickling out, now it will spurt out. So what's the sensible thing to do? The first and foremost sensible thing to do is, or the only sensible thing to do, is first to block the holes. Right? You have a holy bottle, make it into an unholy bottle. Completely block the holes. Once you block the holes, the first benefit is the level of water will not drop. You've stopped losing. You've cut your losses. Then you go and say, well, okay, I now want to fill the bottle. Now you don't need a power hose. You just need to pour some water into the bottle and the bottle gets full. So you are safe. But if you try to do that without blocking the holes, then you will find that no matter what you do, that bottle is going to continue to leak, and you will never gain anything from that. The same thing applies. You want to do a lot of good, that is fine, but block the evil. For example, if you are given to gossiping, if you are given to backbiting, but you are also praying tahajjud, and you are doing a lot of azkar, and you are reading a lot of Quran every day, you know what's happening? All of those good deeds are going to the people that you are slandering and backbiting all day. So when you go stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after you are dead, and you now think, oh mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah, my book of deeds must be absolutely bursting because I did all of these good things. And you look at the book of deeds, it's blank, it's clean. There's nothing in it. Why? Because while you were doing all the good, it was all leaking out. It was all going away to somebody else. You were oppressing people, you were cursing people, you were beating people, you were bad-biting people, you were taking away their rights, you were falsely accusing them of this and that, you were bearing false witness. Allah knows what you were doing. All of this stuff will come to haunt you when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the good that you did will become worthless. Now we know this from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, he said, do you know who are the destitute of this ummah? Destitute, not just poor, destitute, who have nothing. Who are the destitute of this ummah? And he's not talking about non-believers, he's talking about Muslims. The Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, the destitute among us are those who have no dinar or dirham. They have no money. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Listen carefully. He said, the destitute of this ummah are those who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment with good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud. Those of you who have been to Medina, you have seen the mountain. Those of you who haven't been there, may Allah take you as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, Google it. He said, the good, they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds. We're not talking about evil. He said, good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud. But at the same time, there will be a long line of people who will come to Allah and who will demand justice and who will demand compensation for all the bad that these people did to those people. They used up their property, they swallowed up their land, they did not give them their rights, they cursed them, they slandered them, they backbited or backbit. I know what's the grammatically correct way of saying it. Those people, right? They did all this stuff. So there will be a long line of people saying, Ya Allah, I want justice. The currency on the day of judgment is deeds. There's no dinar and dirham. So Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from the good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud. And Allah is just. Allah will not take one more than required. Allah will take from this and give it to those people who are aggrieved. Now listen carefully. Rasulullah said, these people who come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud will find that these are being frittered away, these are being taken away one by one, one by one, one by one, until the entire mountain-sized good deeds will be exhausted, finished. It was a whole mountain, now it's flat, nothing is left. But the line of people still remains. There are still people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything, Allah is establishing a hujjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the people, he says, his good deeds are gone. Now what do you want me to do? And the people will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, give my evil deeds to that person. Because I need compensation. So now he has no good deeds to give me, so give my evil to that person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this will be done. And those people who came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a mountain size of good deeds will be thrown into the hellfire carrying the evil deeds of somebody else, of all the people that they wronged. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if you guard against the things which are forbidden, you will be the most devout of people. If you are pleased with what Allah gave you, you will be the richest person. Right? If you are pleased with what Allah gave you, you will be the richest person. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine the contentment. Contentment is the biggest wealth. You don't want anything. You're not hankering after anything. Contentment. If you're pleased with what Allah allotted you. And then he said, if you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. Think about this. You will not just become popular. You will be a believer. So, condition of belief, be kind to the neighbor. If you're kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. If you like what you have for others, if you like others to have what you like for yourself, you will be a Muslim. How many of us want the best for ourselves? But when it comes to somebody else, we say, hey, it's okay. Why does he need more? How many times have you heard this word? How many times have you used this word? Why does he need more? Why do you need more? How come you don't use the same word for yourself and say, why do I need more? Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me enough. That is what we must do. Why do I need more? I don't need anything more. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me enough. You will be content. You will be very happy. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if you are happy with what Allah allotted you, you will be the richest of men. If you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. If you like for others to have what you like for yourself, you will be a Muslim. And then he said, don't laugh immoderately. Don't scream and laugh and go, ah, no. Because he said that kind of laughter causes the heart to die. Now, this is not saying that you should not laugh, of course. You should laugh, you should be happy, you should make other people happy. Don't laugh at people, laugh with people, alhamdulillah. But moderation in our action. This is the message of Islam, alhamdulillah. Moderation in everything that we do. Moderation in everything that we do. Islam is a religion of wasat, religion of moderation, religion of balance, religion of equality. And so therefore, let us practice that in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.